Hi, my name is Steve.
Hi, my name is Ethan.
I love that intro. No one ever knows, like, oh no, it's me now.
It's me. Oops, I didn't know if you were going to say more stuff, and then I was like, oh wait, I think that's my cue.
I love it. Ethan, how do you describe yourself?
Oh, how do I describe myself? I would say that I am a content creator on the internet.
Okay, thumbs up. That is very vague and very, okay.
Yep, that's exactly how I'd describe it.
Oh man, I can't wait to look back on this in 10 years. All right, perfect.
It's going
to
be great.
When you're the mayor of San Francisco, I just can't wait.
I hope not. I do not have any skills in the political field or in most fields, actually.
Surgery,
this is kind of the only field.
Rocket scientist? No?
Nah, I can't even do long division anymore. I realized the other day. I was like, I don't remember how to do this. Yeah, okay.
Have you tried doing new math? It's not cool. It's not a good thing.
I have not. But did they change it again?
So the math from my generation was you just took a number and then you moved it to a different column. There's the number that you got now. You have to actually draw the diagram and a little racer around the track that you have to track all the way around and then it's a tic-tac-toe board. And then you have to win the chess match in order to get your answer.
There you go.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't like math. So. Not for me.
Perfect. Oh my gosh, all right. Now that everyone has tuned out because they're tired of us being shenanigans. So these questions are always starting out pretty easy, and then we'll just lull you into a false sense of security. Are you ready?
Great. I'm very excited.
All right, Ethan, where were you born?
I was born in Portland, Maine.
Who is your mother?
Who is my mother? My mother is Annie Darling. She is an artist. And a mother.
I would have never figured that part out. Perfect. So, what kind of artistry does she do?
She does a lot of graphic design stuff, and then she does some encaustic painting, which is like melting down wax.
Ooh, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, she probably has burned herself a bunch. There's always paint all over everything in her house, and I always make fun of her for that. But yeah, no, she's an artist, both in the digital world and in the real world.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Who's your father?
My father is Mark Nestor, who is also an artist person. He does a lot of animation stuff. He does a lot of graphic design stuff. Recently, he's been doing a lot of 3D printing stuff, just like in his free time for fun, which is cool. He's a big old nerd, which is probably where I get
where you get
from.
Do you think that's where the artistry comes from? Like, your family just loves artists?
Yeah, that's definitely where, like, the more creative side of me comes from, is both of my parents. Kind of everybody in my family is an artist in some sense.
Yeah? Interesting. Was that what you were interested in when you were a child, was being an artist?
Yeah, I was always wanting to be an actor when I was a kid, and then I just sort of realized that not necessarily acting, but more just, like, entertaining, because when I was a kid, I mean, this hasn't really changed much, but I was constantly wanting to be the center of attention to a very annoying degree. And so I just sort of realized, like, oh, I like entertaining people and making people laugh and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, I really wanted to be an actor. And then as I grew, I was like, oh, there's other things that you can do in the entertainment industry other than just like acting. And that's when I found YouTube. And the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah, it's a small bit of history. I mean, you are still a very young lad. You have a lot of life ahead of you. So
hopefully.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Like, so unless there's like an asteroid headed this way, I don't know. Yeah, I haven't looked at the sky recently. So.
Yeah, I mean, peanuts can kill me pretty quick too. So hopefully I don't run into any of those. Yeah,
no, that's an old cartoon anyway. What's the chances that they're going to come out? It's fine. But, you know, so, I mean, just talking about a child, though, before we jump into Ethan today, like, I kind of want to delve into, like, what were your academic interests? You hate math, we got that, so was there anything you did that you were like, this is the stuff right here?
I mean, school in general I kind of hated. I think a large portion of that was because, especially growing up, like, my ADD was so, so bad until I got medicated in 7th grade, then it helped a bit, but it was still really hard for me to learn in like a traditional education setting. Mm. And so I just kind of hated school because I always felt stupid just because I didn't learn the way that other kids learned. And so my main interests were outside of school. I was a gymnast for almost 10 years. And so most of my time, both in school and out of school, because I was never paying attention and I was always thinking about gymnastics, it was all spent doing gymnastics. So whether I was in class thinking about routines that I wanted to do or actually at the gym working out, that's like kind of all I focused on from third grade until the summer of sophomore year of high school.
You still do the gym nowadays, at least according to your videos.
Yeah, I mean, I still go to the normal like workout gym, but I haven't done gymnastics in a while. I can still do a bit of it just because muscle memory. Right. But I'd really like to try and get back to the gymnastics gym and just like do some tumbling and stuff like that.
Was it the physical part of it? Is there a release? Does it help you center yourself? What do you think it is that about being in that atmosphere that just attracts you?
I think a lot of it was just getting my energy out as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, it is such a tiring workout that it was one of the only things that I was like, oh, this is like a really great way for me to get energy out, but also a really great way for me to focus because it just, I think because so much was going on, it just helped me center myself a little bit more. And also, gymnastics as a sport just kind of like fascinated me a lot. So
did you have like idols in gymnastic world?
Yeah, I did have a lot of idols. And a lot of them I actually met because I went to this gymnastics camp and they brought in like different Olympians and stuff like that. Yeah. And so I remember like one of my biggest gymnastics idols was Steven Legendre, who was like this crazy tumbler. He just like had an insane floor routine, and so there was a lot of skills that he did in his floor routines that I was like, I want to be able to do those skills someday, which I never got the chance to do because I had to quit. But yeah, he was a really, really good gymnast and like a crazy tumbler on floor. So
was that one of your most memorable interactions with somebody not in the video game field, like an idol that you were getting to meet?
Yeah, probably like meeting him and meeting like a few other Olympic coaches that I met too, that I got to work out with and be trained by. Yeah. And so that was pretty awesome.
Do you think that, I feel like that would be almost an advantage for you in that you were on the opposite side of the coin, right? So you have fans that meet you nowadays. So you know what it was like to like meet somebody that you looked up to.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, like, even in the YouTube world, like, I still have moments where, like, I'll bump into somebody and I'm like, oh, and like, I don't really show it, but I'm like, oh, I'm a huge fan of this person. Like, I love what this person does.
I completely get that you cannot be over the top. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's you, or else you completely kill any good vibes.
Yeah.
You gotta balance that out. But yeah, it is kind of strange when you have to, like, tell someone, like, hey, I'm a fan of your work. In a very nice way, to not be like, hey, listen, can you autograph everything I own?
Yeah.
I love touching on the YouTube stuff. Obviously, we're going to go a little bit more to Ethan. But for those of you who don't know, Ethan is one of the hot celebrities just coming off of this huge series that doesn't exist on the internet anymore. Sorry, you missed your chance.
This big thing that you can't see.
That's right. This huge thing that had millions of followers that had never existed. You know, and honestly, that's half the reason why I invited you here, was the meaning behind that. And we'll get to that, because I like that you're not a YouTuber who just concentrates on content, but you put a lot of feeling into what you do. And that's what makes me such an unhonest fan of your work, is I feel like you try. And, you know, part of that is you mentioned in an interview that you don't really have work hours. It's a lifestyle. It's not, you know, something that you go to work and you clock out. You know, what does a typical daily routine look like for an Ethan?
Ooh, I mean, that's changed a lot recently because I've been working on a show to hopefully tour. And so normally it would just be like, wake up, shower, record some videos. Back before I had an editor, my editor Justin, he does a great job, but back before Justin, I would, you know, wake up, record videos, edit those videos, get minimal sleep, rinse and repeat. But now it's more like I get up, do some writing, or I look through like the outlines that I have or whatever. And I have a lot more meetings now, right. Which is good, but also kind of annoying at the same time, because it does feel very productive, but it's like every day. Usually I have at least 1, 2, 3 meetings, whatever it might be. And so, yeah, it feels like a lot more official than it used to.
Like you're a businessman now.
Yeah, which is cool. But now that things are getting a bit bigger, like there's more people involved now. But yeah, no, now it's just like kind of wake up, do some writing and stuff or whatever I need to do for the show. And then I'll do some recording and then maybe stream, send stuff off to Justin, my editor. Huh, yeah,
that's pretty good routine.
play with my dog.
Play with the dog. That's an important one. Yeah, I mean, yep. Have you found that having a routine has been helpful to you, or has the winging it approach been more your style?
I mean, I've always just kind of winged it. I still don't really have a good schedule at all. Like Justin and I actually just had a meeting the other day where it's like, okay, I want to like be better about actually scheduling stuff out, mm-hmm. because normally I'll just sort of like figure out what to record when I'm recording. Mm-hmm. And so like a lot of time is actually wasted by me trying to figure out what I need to record. Mm. And so now we're hoping to get to a point where it's just like on Sundays, we schedule out the entire next week. So then I can wake up and be like, okay, this is what I'm recording today. This is Justin, what you're editing today, blah, 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 blah. So then it's less by the seat of our pants. Yeah, because I'm just notoriously bad at scheduling things and sticking to a routine, mostly just because of the way that my brain works,
yeah.
Where I'll just like sit down to do something and then completely forget what I'm doing and then get distracted, and then hours go by and I'm like, oh, I haven't gotten anything done. Whoops.
I think a lot of us can feel that relation to sitting down and not getting anything done. I mean, yeah. Obviously, with your focus and having ADHD, you know, how are you finding those parts that people aren't seeing of the YouTube world, of the life in general? I mean, we all know that the top end of your field, you have to almost allow cameras in your house and in your toiletries, and, you know, you really got to be all access. I mean, how is that really jiving with you these days?
Yeah, I mean, as far as... I think it's weird because everything has changed and nothing has changed at the same time, mm-hmm. because I've always been sort of open like that. And I'm starting to try to be a little bit more private,
gotcha.
Because like I just bought a house recently and I'm horrified of people finding out where I live for multiple reasons. Like one, I just don't want people knowing where I live. But two, I'm also horrified of somebody showing up to my house and then I'm put in a position mm-hmm. where I kind of have to be an asshole mm-hmm. to them. Because it's like, this is a major line that you've crossed, and I need to make sure that I articulate that this is not okay for you to do. Yeah. And so, like, I'm sort of horrified about that. But, I mean, what was the original question?
Just the original question was how you are dealing with the all-access demand that your, you know, career of, you know, has demanded upon you. How, you know, obviously, I think that's a great insight right there, that you have such a fear in you. But yeah, I mean, other than the fear of someone showing up, you know, how are you dealing with this all-access life?
Yeah, it's really weird. And it's something that I've actually talked to my therapist quite a bit about, is that like when you become a content creator, everything becomes content all the time. Mm-hmm. And so there's sort of like this underlying guilt that people don't realize that is there, where I feel like I can no longer go out and do something for me. Everything has to be content now, where it's like, oh, I can't go on a trip somewhere and just enjoy it for myself. Like I have to make content out of it. And like I've been getting better about not doing that, but the pressure is still there that I have to fight off, of being like, no, not everything has to be content. You can just enjoy things because you should enjoy things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like one of the biggest stressors that I have, is like just trying to find the line between my real life and my life on the internet. And that line is really blurred. Really blurred.
More than for most. I mean, I think back to Ethan and I played Sea of Thieves together offline with nobody watching. And during at least one point for each of us, we caught ourselves making streamer jokes. We're like, oh, nobody's watching. Damn it, that's right. Oh, no.
It's just, like, automatic.
It is. So like, it's in your brain. I mean, obviously, building a platform is a big part of being an influencer, you know? But, I mean, let me ask you, if you didn't need to be on it for your job, do you think you would use social media this much?
I would like to hope that I wouldn't use it.
like to hope
honestly,
to. I love
and
that.
Like, yeah, I sort of daydream about that sometimes, mm-hmm. about, like, quitting social media, and when, because I'm not going to be doing YouTube forever, you know, nobody is, obviously, but I think I'll get to a point in my life where I'm like, okay, I'm done with this chapter, and I don't think that that's going to come for a long time, but, you know, I do dream of the day where I'm like, okay, I can log off, I can rest now, because it just consumes everything, and social media absolutely has its positives, but it is really a toxic place at times, and it can be really, really bad for your mental health. And so I've started to try to take steps to step away more from social media. I'll go through times where I'll delete stuff from my phone so then it's not as easily accessible to me. And I've been trying to just stay off social media as much, because it really can, like, consume your entire life. And for somebody who's developed fairly severe anxiety in the last couple of years, being on social media does not help at all with that.
I can imagine. That's where I think an interview like this really helps people who are listening, you know, who have anxiety. Let's face it, we just went through an entire pandemic and we made it, right? Mm-hmm. We're yeah. still sitting here talking. You know, how do you personally deal with those negative comments? Do you have coping mechanisms to help you sort of weather the storm, as they say?
That's the thing that I was always told would get better, and it doesn't really, at least for me, where, like, when the channel started picking up more traction and I started getting more hate comments and stuff, people were like, well, this is sort of par for the course. You'll learn to deal with it and it'll get easier because you'll see more and more of it and it'll sort of desensitize. But just the kind of person that I am, and it sucks. Because there's so much positive stuff that people say, and it's super, super sweet. But it sucks because the negative stuff, the few negative comments are the ones that stick out and the ones that I think about. And so, like, in this sea of positivity, the only thing that I can focus on is, like, the couple of negative comments, which sucks. And so, like, there's not really any, like, coping mechanisms or anything that I've developed. It's just me realizing that this is part of it and that I need to try and not pay attention to that stuff as much as I can and not take it to heart. I don't know. It's also hard to not take that to heart. And it's hard to not go looking for things, too. Mm-hmm. I had an issue for a while where I was checking this forum that is dedicated to exclusively shitting on people. And so there were different threads for different YouTubers, and I had a thread. And I would go and look at it all the time, and I would get super depressed because people just say really hurtful things on there. And, like, that's the point of the forum. And so people were saying, like, why don't you just not look at it? And I was like, okay, but I feel like it's almost human nature to want to know what people are saying about you. And so it's like, if you could hear what people were saying behind your back, wouldn't you be curious? Yeah, you probably would. And in my case, I can know what they're saying. So it's awful. But thankfully, I stopped checking that website.
It's like the superpower you didn't want.
Yeah, exactly. I stopped checking that website a while back, so that's been great.
That sounds like a good mental right there. I mean, was that sort of the catalyst for your decision to take that break you did a couple months ago to sort of focus on your mental health? Or was there other things in play?
I think that didn't really have an effect, really, or have a play in it. It was more just me. There was a few things about it. So, one, I was about to move. Mm-hmm. And so that was sort of the reason why I chose to take the break when I did. But I did realize, like, oh, I'm really burnt out right now, and I'm not in a great place mentally, and I just kind of need to take a break, and I'm about to move and I'm about to be more stressed out than I already am. And I knew that if I was making videos and streaming and stuff while I was moving, then it was going to be really bad for me because I would just rush everything and I wouldn't be able to enjoy moving into a new place and take the time that I needed to do things. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to be super stressed out about this if I don't take a break. And it was so nice to just kind of like have a transitional period and sort of start from a fresh slate in a way. And so that was super, super nice. But yeah, it was mostly just me realizing that I wasn't in a super great place mentally and that I needed to step back, because the last time I had taken a real break was when my grandmother passed away. So it wasn't really a break that I wanted to take. So yeah, and it's also made me realize that like taking breaks should be more of a thing regularly, and that, you know, my mental health should come first. The content should not come first.
I wish that more people would say that to themselves, that to put their mental health first. Definitely one of the reasons why I'm even doing this show now and talking to people like you is because my hope is that people will hear someone who has influence like yourself saying the importance of mental health and how taking care of yourself, you know. I mean, like, for example, you mentioned not doing YouTube forever. I would guarantee there's at least 100 people who will hear this and be like, he's not? He's like, you know, because they think you're just going to do this for the next 75 years. And but you're not alone in that at all. I've heard so many top-end people talking about how, yeah, I want to use this as a launching platform to go do XYZ, you know. Do you think that is something that the industry really needs to start recognizing more, that this isn't something you do forever, but it's something that you do as part of your life journey?
Yeah, I think that that's something that people forget. Like, it's like any other job. And even though, like, for most people, streaming and making videos and stuff is more of a passion, and then it, you know, becomes your job for some people. People have so many different jobs in their lifetime. Like, there's very few people that do one job for their whole life. And so, you know, it's all about just like experiencing something, and then when that thing has given you all it can, then it's time to move on. And I would hope that people want that for other content creators and stuff, for them to realize like, oh, I want you to get everything out of this that you can and then move on to the next thing, because you can't just keep milking something forever. You know, there is a limit to how much you can get from some things, and that's how you grow, and that's how you figure out, okay, what do I want to do next and stuff like that. At least that's how I look at it. And so I would hope that people are on sort of the same page in a way of, okay, you know, this isn't going to last forever, but I hope that Ethan gets everything he can out of it and then use the skills and the lessons that he's learned from this in his next thing. So, yeah, and I think, too, people think that if I stopped doing YouTube, then I would just disappear from the internet, and I don't think that that would be the case.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people really care, if I'm being completely honest, about if I'm making videos or if I'm making streams or whatever. They just want to see the people that they like making things. And I think that just because of the person that I am, I don't think I'll ever not be making something. It might be in a different medium, but I think that I'll always be creating, probably for the rest of my life.
Do you think that people have come to love Ethan, or on camera Ethan? Like, what, when, you know, I've talked to you about this before, and you've said, you know, we're just amplified versions of ourselves when the camera's on, right? So what do you think are the traits that are, you know, more on camera Ethan versus off? Now, obviously, I know we've hung off camera, but for those of you who are listening, what's the difference?
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing that you just said of, like, do people love Ethan or do people love on-camera Ethan or crank gameplays or whatever?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they don't know Ethan. Like the people that watch me on the internet, they don't know Ethan Nestor because they haven't seen the entirety of Ethan Nestor. And that's something I really want people to notice more. And I think in the world that we're living in now, with the internet and everybody sort of having access to everything all the time and access to what everybody's posting every day, but also their past, is that people will bring up problematic things from the past. And it's good to hold people accountable, absolutely. But the thing about that I don't agree with is that people will take something that somebody did 10 years ago and sort of try and end their whole career. Mm-hmm. And one, that's how people grow. I mean, obviously, depending on the scenario. But also, the important thing is to realize that content creators are just people. And people make mistakes and screw up all the time. That's how we learn. But I think that people forget that sometimes and just forget that, like, oh, this person isn't just perfect all the time, because that's sort of inherently what content creators put out. You know, like, I'm showing people through my content, I'm showing people the version of myself that I want them to see. And so most of the time, and, you know, sometimes we all mess up. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, that is more or less the best version of myself. You know what I mean? And so I think that a lot of people sometimes forget that content creators are just people, and we're all flawed. But yeah, no, people know Ethan as Crank Gameplays on the internet because that's what I've shown people. People haven't seen Ethan Nestor in all of my forms. Most of the time, I don't on the internet show all of my emotions. Like, I don't like putting out content where I'm legitimately angry. I don't think I've ever done that. Like, I don't usually post content where I'm really depressed and stuff like that, because that's not really what people want to see, you know? Like, people want to usually be lifted up and entertained. And so it's weird thinking about, like, oh, there's a lot of people that watch me and love me, but they also don't really know me because I haven't shown them my full self, because they don't know what I'm like when I'm super depressed and having a bad day, or they haven't seen me angry. They only see the parts that I show them. I'm rambling so hard, and I hope that this is making sense. But yeah, no, there is a difference, and it is sort of like a hyper-exaggerated version of myself. But unless you actually know me in the real life, what you're getting on the internet isn't truly me. It's not like I'm being inauthentic, but I don't know. Again, I'm rambling. I hope that makes sense.
I don't think you're rambling at all, honestly. And this is an excellent example of something that I hope people can take away from this, is people are complex and they have many layers, and it's very much closer to an onion of peeling back layers to, you know, you, that obviously touched the nerve with you, and you obviously just sort of went off about it. And I think that is that honesty that we don't really quite get in our medium right now, where, you know, I always say, you know, don't compare your everyday life to someone else's highlight reels. It's not a fair comparison. So
yeah,
and that's I really appreciate you going on about that at length, because I think people need to hear that we are people. We're not above the law. We will mess up sometimes, and it's all about being able to take responsibility. Greg Miller was in your chair a few weeks ago, and we were talking about just taking responsibility, and how that's one of the things that he respects the most in the world, is when someone messes up and they take responsibility. Have you had, you know, the luck of being around friends who were better at taking responsibility for their mess ups than not?
Yeah, I think a lot of people in my life who have messed up have, I don't really like using this phrase, but like, come clean about it or whatever.
Right.
And you know, like, just like everybody else, like, I've fucked up a bunch in my past too. Like, I started doing YouTube when I was 15. I know that I've probably said some things that I shouldn't have said. And like, everybody makes mistakes like that. But the difference between person A and person B is that person A should take responsibility and be like, hey, like, I did do this thing, and not try and hide it, or not try and make up a ton of excuses, but say like, hey, I did do this thing, I want to learn from that. And something that I've seen a lot actually recently is like, people not giving others a chance to learn, which is something that I find really frustrating. I saw a creator on the internet use a term that was a derogatory term towards trans people, and he got called out for it. And he said, genuinely, I didn't know that that was a slur. Like, I genuinely didn't know. And people still, like, bashed him super hard for it. And he apologized for it. But in a way, I felt bad for him, because I was like, oh, people aren't educating you and giving you a chance to learn. If you say, like, I genuinely didn't know that that was something that I shouldn't say, mm-hmm. it does kind of suck just seeing everybody, like, gang up on that person instead of giving them a chance to be educated and a chance to respond and a chance to learn and grow from that.
Absolutely. It makes sense.
Yeah, no, and that's something that I think is really important, is if you see somebody mess up, don't just try and end them forever. Try and actually help them and educate them and give them a chance to learn and grow, because that's what everybody deserves, a chance to learn and grow and
absolutely
make up for their mistakes.
We all learn, we all grow, we change as the years go by. I mean, how do you feel like you have changed from even just a few years ago?
I feel like I've changed a lot. I feel like in ways I've gotten a lot more cynical. It's like,
I think that's Ethan. Just,
yeah, I think that's just part of becoming an adult, because again, like, I'm still pretty young. I'm 24, but I remember moving out here to LA when I was 20. I was fresh 20. Mm-hmm. I moved out here in November 1st of 2016. My birthday is October 24th. So I was fresh 20, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and, like, you know, I've gotten insanely lucky, and I've done some really cool things, and I've had some really cool opportunities. But at the same time, I think that Ethan from 2016 versus Ethan now, like, I think I definitely am more cynical, just because I'm like, oh, I gotta figure out how to be a real adult and stuff like that, and... You know, it was the first time me not living at home with my parents and realizing, like, oh, man, like, living with your parents is actually, like, pretty dope. You don't really have to do anything. Yeah, and so it just, like, becoming a real adult and stuff definitely, like, opened my eyes in a lot of good ways, and also in a lot of ways where I'm like, oh, man, life is tough sometimes.
It is tough. Do you feel like there's still personality traits that you're working on today, like, actively?
Yeah, I think that I'm trying to be more understanding of everyone, I think. And not like I wasn't not understanding before, but I don't know. As I grow up more, I start seeing, like, the things from my parents' generation and stuff of, like, learning new things about, like, how the world should operate. And seeing my parents or my grandparents, like, adjusting to change like that. And so now, as I become more of an adult and seeing, like, younger generations come up, being more open to the way that things change, like math. Like, you know, I shouldn't bash on the math. I should just learn how to do the math.
Totally gonna bash on the math. I don't care. That's fine.
Yeah, but, like, you know, there's, like, a ton of things that I have learned about, and even in the last, like, couple of years growing up, specifically, like, in the LGBTQ plus world and community, like, when I was growing up, I was pretty much taught about bi people, gay people, and lesbians, and that is the entire spectrum that I was taught growing up. And then as I got older, I was like, oh, there are trans people, and they're all of these other different sexual identities and everything like that. And so learning about that has been really, really interesting. And it's also been slightly embarrassing too. I remember, like, a month ago, somebody told me that they were demisexual. And I was like, I felt super embarrassed, because I was like, I don't know what that is. Can you please explain to me what that is? Because I don't know what that means to be demisexual. And I felt slightly embarrassed, because it was just like, oh, no, I don't want to be, like, out of touch. And I don't want to have to be explain things like I've had to explain to, like, my mom or something like that.
I wonder if it was the same person, because I saw somebody recently talking about that and talked to them about it as well. I guess I was the same way. Yeah. I didn't know exactly what that meant. Do you want to try to explain for those listening that don't know what that is?
I don't know if I can explain it correctly or
Google.
Accurately.
Go to Google, everybody.
If I'm being honest. Google. Go to Google. Well, that's the other thing, too, is, like, I get very afraid about educating other people, too.
Yeah.
even though I just said you should take time to educate people, I also get horrified of educating other people because I'm like, I don't want to say the wrong thing or explain it in the wrong way. I'm a very forgetful person and things cross in my brain all the time.
I think it's important. You don't want to speak for people. I always try to learn enough about a subject, for example, being a blind gamer. Like, I know enough to be able to say the generalities and then say, you need to actually go talk to a person who plays who is blind. Because I'm never going to be able to give you as much information as they will. You know, I can get you in direction. Like, I know demisexual from my conversation with said friend is basically, you have to have an emotional connection with somebody. That's what matters. Mm-hmm. Way less about binary. But I don't know enough about it to go into a dissertation, for sure.
Mm-hmm. This is something that you've probably experienced before, because I've had this happen in chat before, where people will... And I do try and give advice when I can, but this is something I think that I have definitely learned over the past few years, is that I don't have to have an answer about everything, and that's absolutely okay. Uh-huh. Where I've had multiple people come into my chat and be like, hey, I want to come out to my parents. Do you have any advice? And I'm like, I don't. Honestly, I don't have any advice because I've never been in that situation before, and I don't know how to go about doing that, and I always feel bad, but it's like, no, I shouldn't feel bad about not being able to give somebody advice. I think it's probably better to just be honest and be like, hey, I've never been in that scenario, and so I unfortunately don't have any advice to give you. You know, maybe some other people in the community who have gone through that experience can give you advice.
Yeah, especially hard when your advice comes from a lens that they don't share. You know, speaking of Twitch chat, just the other day, someone asked me about dating advice, and I tried to give them some general advice, and they got kind of upset from me because they were like, well, you don't understand what it's like to be a woman trying to look for another woman in this world. And I'm like, I don't. I only know what it's like to be a man who's disabled looking for someone to accept that, and that's all I know. And I think that is a very strong point you make, that we have to get more comfortable with saying, I don't know. Here's my sliver of advice that I can tell you from my point of view, and that's all I can help you with. You know, even with this series, like, I want people to take advice from you on what makes sense to them, and then for whatever doesn't, go and find somebody else. But you know, you have great advice. You've been a friend of mine for many years, since you were, you know, a 21-year-old growing up in this industry, and I think having that platform kind of gives you that advantage point, you know, where you've seen a lot more than some have.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you think I have good opinions.
I think that's an advantage in your life. You know, you're one of the only people I've ever heard say, like, you know, I don't want to just do this because I want to do it. I also want to spite people. And it's amazing to me that, like, nobody ever admits to that, but it was one of the most honest things you ever said, and it instantly endeared you to me, was when you were like, I just want to prove to the people who said I couldn't do this that I can. And I felt like that was such a strong statement on your part. Do you feel like you have done that? Have you proven them wrong?
Yeah, and now I have to prove the hardest person wrong, which is myself, because now, after the last few years, I think the weirdest thing about finding success in something is everybody talks about what it takes to get to where you want to go, and everybody talks about the plans that they have to get where they want to be. Nobody ever talks about what happens once you get there, and that has been, I think, the hardest thing that I've had to face. Now is that for such a long time, all I wanted to do was make videos and get to a point where it could be my job. And I wanted to prove, you know, the few teachers back in high school that said, like, you can't do that. Now that I've proven them wrong, and like some other people in my life wrong, and I've done this thing, it's like, what do I do now? Where do I go? And so now I sort of have to prove myself wrong and my anxiety wrong by being like, well, you've peaked, this is the top, this is, you will never do anything bigger or better than this. And now it's the hardest person to convince is yourself that you can continue to do new things and grow and continue to make progress and stuff like that. Yeah, anxiety is fun.
I think you touched on a great point there. I'd love to have you explore. It's not a destination that you can just, you know, woo, I did it. I'm successful. And then that's just it. You win life. How do you, Ethan Nestor, define success?
That's a really tough one. I was about to ask you a question, but you just answered that, which is, I was going to ask, are you asking how I define success or what success is in general?
I beat him there.
you beat me to the punch. I think success is, I don't know how I would define success for me, honestly. And I think that is because of sort of my upbringing and my history with gymnastics. And I think that this is kind of not a great trait that I have. And I think that a lot of other content creators probably have this, is in gymnastics, you know, you're working on a skill and you do all of the drills that you need to do. You do all of the preparatory steps to get to this skill. You practice for a long time. You work really hard. And then you finally get that skill and you complete that skill. You celebrate for a day about getting that skill. And then it's on to the next one up. You know what I mean? And so there's very little time for you to actually appreciate the work that you just did because you're already on to the next thing. And I think that in a way it's good because it keeps me looking upward, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it keeps me motivated and, you know, craving more, I guess. It's also very bad because I don't really ever like give myself a pat on the back. And I don't really ever let myself just sit in it and appreciate what it is. And also, I think, you know, that is in a way a bad trait of like always wanting more. And so, yeah, I don't really know how to define success because in my eyes, it's not that I don't think that I'm not successful, but once I get to a point where I'm at, where I want to be, then I'm trying to figure out what the next step is. Because I don't like sitting in that. Like I like always trying to work on something else, which I think was a big reason that I like wanted to try and do touring stuff again, was because I felt too comfortable in the spot that I was in, where I was like, I'm making videos and things are going good. And I felt too comfortable in that. And so I was like, okay, I need to start working on something else. I can't just sit here.
You like being creatively uncomfortable?
Yeah, I think that that's when you make the best stuff, is when you're uncomfortable, because you're forced to figure out a problem and figure out some sort of solution or whatever, and you're forced to try and like think out of the box, I think. I think that when you're uncomfortable, that's when the best stuff can be made. I don't think that comfort is conducive to a creative environment, if I'm being honest.
Wow, that's a great nugget of, again, advice I was talking about earlier. I mean, so, you know, I've heard you talk about how comparison is the thief of joy in our industry. You know, it very much is. But, you know, you're also somebody who has a million followers on Twitter, on Instagram. You know, a lot of us out there pushing, like, follow this guy on Twitter, because, of course, it's easier to get follows on Instagram these days. How do you feel as somebody who has followers that have, I mean, not followers, but has friends who have 10,000 followers and have 10 million followers? You know, how do you navigate the waters of looking up and down at the same time?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think that one of my biggest issues that I have is being compared, not being compared to other people, is that I compare myself to other people constantly. But also other people compare me to other people. Like, people all the time compare me to Mark and Sean constantly. And that's just kind of like the way that it's happened, and I understand. But at the same time, like, I also heavily compare myself to Mark and Sean. Not because I think that I am like as good as what we do as they are, or as successful or anything, but because they both have such a high standard for what they make, that I then want to hold myself to the same sort of standard. And so when I'm not putting out stuff that in my mind is good enough, then that's when I get really depressed and stuff. And I think that that's another reason why I wanted to try and make this show to tour, because I was like, I don't feel good about the stuff that I'm making. I want to make something bigger and better, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and so I think comparison, you are very right. It does kill happiness in a way.
Do you think that happiness is a choice?
Do I think that happiness is a choice? Yes and no at the same time.
Sure.
It depends on the kind of person that you are. I can pretend that I'm happy all the time if I want to. And I think eventually it would just be a placebo effect of me thinking that I am actually happy. And that's something that I think is frustrating as a content creator too, because like we were talking about earlier, like I only put out stuff where it's, you know, me trying to be happy and entertaining and stuff. And by proxy, like people just think that I'm happy all the time, and which is really not the case at all. You know, I'm very lucky and very privileged to be at the spot where I'm at. I do recognize that. But at the same time, I'm not necessarily happy either. That's why I go to therapy. Try and figure that out. Why do I not feel happy? I mean, for the most part, it's not like I don't find joy in things or anything like that. But I do kind of think it's a choice to be happy. In the sense of, definitely in the sense of self-improvement, you can tell somebody all you want, hey, I notice that you are struggling from X, Y, Z, whatever. I think that you should get help, blah, 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 blah. Nobody is ever going to benefit from help, in my opinion, with certain things, obviously. There's exceptions, but nobody's ever going to benefit from receiving help from somebody or trying to get help unless they do it themselves. I was told for a really long time that I should go to therapy and that I would benefit from therapy. And I went to therapy for a bit because people were telling me that I needed to go to therapy, and I didn't get anything out of it because I was sort of forced to go to therapy. And I mean, it did help a little bit. But when I really benefited from it was when I made the conscious decision myself to get that help. And so I think that happiness is kind of the same in a sense, where it's like you need to be motivated to try to become happier, because it's not just going to happen. Like, you have to actively work towards it and you have to want to get better. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Again, I feel like I'm rambling, but maybe what I'm saying is making sense.
No, every time you've gone, oh, that's a good question, then you go into these what you're calling rambling, but I feel like it's your true thoughts. And you know, I hope that someone out there is listening and relating, because I feel like it's very relatable. You know, we're not all happy all the time. It seems like it, because you put out, you know, this over-the-top, happy, crank gameplays content, but Ethan may be having a bad day that day, but it's your job to be happy.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
That was something that my therapist told me. Because we would be talking about like really deep stuff and I would sort of be emotionless, not like a sociopath or anything, but like, like I just wouldn't be reacting super hard. And she was like, you're really good at, because she could tell that what we were talking about was affecting me, but she was like, you're really good at wearing a mask and like pretending like something's not affecting you. And I was like, yeah, no, it's my job. Like, my job is to pretend like everything's okay, even if some days it's not, because I want to be there for other people and entertain other people. Yeah. And like, I do that in real life a lot too, where like, I will not be having a good time, but like, if a friend of mine is going through it or whatever, then I'll just be like, all right, I'll save this one for later. I gotta go and help a friend of mine or whatever.
That's admirable. I mean, okay, so that leads us to an amazing question I would love to hear your take on. Outside of content creation, where do you find meaning in life?
I think that I find meaning from being with other people. And I think that the pandemic has really shown me that. I really strive when I'm with other people, and I really like doing things with other people. I like helping people with things. And so I think that I get meaning from being with other people and by helping other people too. And I'm not trying to be like pompous when I say this, but I, in my like day to day life, like I usually go out of my way to like if my friend was moving or something, mm-hmm. I would just kind of like drop it and drop what I was doing and like go and help somebody. Or like if I'm at the grocery store and I see like my friend's favorite candy, I'll just like get them their favorite candy because, aww. And it's kind of in a selfish way because I feel really good by making somebody that I care about feel good, you know? Yep. So it is kind of a selfish thing at the same time. But yeah, I think that's where I find meaning is like being with other people and trying to help other people and experiencing things with others because, you know, there was a lot of cool stuff that happened to me over this past year and there was a lot of positive things. But it was also very soured by the fact that I was alone for most of it. You know?
I feel that, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that kind of open transparentness, I think, is what's very respectable when creators can touch not only their successes, but the struggles. I mean, what are some of the frustrations that you're dealing with that you feel like everyone can relate to?
I mean, I think the biggest one for sure, which we're slowly coming out of, is the struggle of being alone and loneliness. You know, I just got to see my family a week and a half, two weeks ago for the first time in like a year and a half. And like, wow. Just being able to be with my family was so special and so nice. And I think that was one of my biggest struggles this past year was just that feeling of loneliness and isolation and the feeling of helplessness. Where it really was, this past year made me feel really small in the sense that it was just like, oh, I don't have as much control over my life as I thought I did. Right. Like when shit like this happens where it's a global pandemic, it's like, oh, other than like, you know, not seeing people and social distancing and stuff, I don't have control of anything. Mm-mm. I can't do anything.
Right.
Like, it's not like I'm a scientist who can help make a vaccine or anything like that. It's just like, oh, this is completely out of my control. Okay. And so that made me feel really helpless in a lot of ways. And there was also parts where I felt very helpful because I was like, okay, it can only go up from here, right? And then the murder hornets came and I went, oh, maybe not.
Maybe it could get worse. Oh, no. Yeah. Now if the murder spiders start appearing, I'm just done. I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go to Mars.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's, you know, a certain set of standards that you're trying to live by, that you're judging yourself by, that sort of lets you continue on your merry way?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of any. Honestly, this sounds fake, but it's very real. I try and make my dog proud of me.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Because he unconditionally loves me and he's always just happy and he loves being around people and he gets the littlest pleasures from things. Like he loves looking at bees and just like he doesn't like go and like try and play with them or anything. He just watches them and he just enjoys looking at them and like, that's how I want to be. Like, I want to just, like, be able to go out and appreciate things and just, you know, kind of live in the moment and just be like, wow, like, it's a really pretty day outside. Like, my dog does that all the time. And so I think if I could be more like my dog and do more things that would make my dog happy and proud of me, then I'm doing a good job.
That is the most wholesome, non-crank gameplays answer I've heard. I love it. That is beautiful. Yeah. We have been somehow talking for now an hour and 5 minutes. I'm 15 minutes over our time because you and I just could do this forever. And I love hearing your views on things as well. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. This was very fun.
Oh, you're not getting out of here just yet, buddy boy. You still got the...
Very therapeutic.
Very therapeutic. Listen, I'll be sending you my billing hourly rate. It's okay. $25,000 per minute.
Great.
Yep. Just start.
I wish my insurance was better.
Don't we all say that? You know, when we're wrapping up to go to the 10 questions, there's one question I have to get to because I'm sure I'll drag you back again at some point. But for now, what... Mm-hmm. advice and motivation do you give to people, not about the industry, outside of the industry, beyond the advice of go follow your dreams, don't let your dreams be dreams, Shia LaBeouf meme stuff. You know, what do you do to motivate your friends that helps make them happy, do what they want to do? What do you really say to them?
Something that I've been trying to tell people more recently, and this was originally a thing from, I can't remember what the channel's name is. This is great. But the idea of it sort of came from them, was the idea of failing faster. Because I think that as a society, we inherently associate failure with negativity and, you know, with failing. But failing is just another opportunity to grow and learn. People don't come out of the womb being insanely talented, like an incredible artist or anything like that. People get to be exceptional because of the things that they've learned and because they can grow from failing. And so I think if we can remove the majority of the fear from failing and accept that failing is a part of the process and it's a part of growing and it's a part of learning and becoming better, then like that will get you to the place that you want to be much faster if you can just accept that failing is a part of it and I should embrace failure because that's how I'm going to learn.
That's amazing. I have heard of fail faster, and I think it's a great mantra, and I'm glad you bring it up, because we have to be not afraid to fail and learn from that.
Yeah. One of the most popular questions that I get asked whenever I'm doing like a Q&A or a panel or whatever is people being like, I want to start a YouTube channel, but I don't know where to start. How do I start? And my advice is always just start making things.
Yep.
It's going to be bad when you first start. I guarantee you, it's going to be bad.
Yep.
I still, to this day, almost a decade later, make shitty content. Like, you just have to start making things, because if you just sit on, I'm worried about my first video being bad, then you're never going to make it. Like, you just have to start making stuff and then go from there. Stop talking about wanting to do something and just do it.
10,000 hours, right? You have to get in the practice. And somehow we've forgotten that in order to get those hours of practice, we have to actually do the thing. And stop talking about doing the thing. Do the thing.
Yep.
Ethan, we are going to do the 10 questions that will open the magic door to rapid fire. All right. So the
rapid fire.
So I'm not going to interject. I'm not going to comment on your answer. These are your answers and yours alone. I'm going to ask you the question. You get the answer. You can answer in one word. You can take 20 minutes to answer. I don't care. But I'm not going to interject. It's all on you. Okay. Are you ready?
Okay. I am ready.
Here we go. You want a drink? You need to pet the puppy? Do you need to shake it out?
There's no more water.
Oh,
in my
God.
Glass,
I made him run out of water. Oh, God. Okay. All right. Next time, bring bigger water. All right. Here we go. Right. Ready? All right. Favorite color?
Amaranth.
Least favorite color?
Probably like a... Probably like... like the brownish green color? I don't know.
All right. What's the best thing you've ever tasted?
Best thing? Ooh, good question. I don't know. Probably a steak that I had in Australia.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. And what is the worst thing you've ever tasted?
Worst thing I've ever tasted. Probably pee.
Oh, God. Oh. Have you ever loved?
Have I ever loved? Yes.
Have you ever hurt somebody?
Yes.
What can somebody do to earn your trust?
What can somebody do to earn my trust? I think be vulnerable.
What can somebody do to lose your trust?
Probably hurt somebody I care about.
If someone spoke to you the way that you speak to yourself when no one else is around, would you be friends with that person?
No.
If you died tomorrow, what do you hope people will remember you for?
I My ass.
That's going in the trailer. All right.
Yep. I would hope that people would remember me for, I guess, my kindness and also my laugh.
Okay. The big question. Uh-huh. Do you have a personal life philosophy that you would attribute to getting to where you are right now?
Fuck it. Just do it.
Perfect. And Ethan Nestor, do you believe that some things are better left unsaid?
Yeah.
And with that, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, we are out of time for today. Ethan Nestor, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.